Good morning, everyone. This is General Galen Sean. You're listening to the world famous, the world flabbiest. Jesus, all of a sudden I got thrown off by this. What is this?
They're doing cadence.
The fuck are they doing?
Hold on.
It's not what you think, General. It's Eminem. Oh, it's Eminem. Okay, that's Jesus. Anyway, welcome to the program.
And this is Margaret Gray, along with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Margaret Gray, myself, Phil Henry, the General, and Phil Henry.
Thank you. And just this right there, see? Jesus, he's a real angry son of a bitch, isn't he?
Who's that?
This jackass here.
Oh, Eminem, yes. Well, Eminem's not angry so much as he's animated. He's animated.
Yeah, he's animated, you know. He's got a lot to say, you know.
Oh, he's got a lot to say, huh? Well, I guess I'll have to,
Sit down and listen to the M and the M.
Not the M and the M. Don't start messing stuff up just because you think it's a riot, okay, bud?
Well, you did say...
Well, the name M and M is a play on M and M, is it not?
Yes.
Well, I think that's Bud's point.
M and M. So what's his name is M and M?
No, E-M-I-M-N-M. E-M-I-N-E-M.
Oh, I see. So he plays a little cutesy-poo with it.
Sure. So, don't they all? It's like Ice-T, you know. How do you think he spells his name?
How do I think it would? I-E-I-C-E-D-T-E-A.
No, he does not. Although he should.
Yeah, because he can't spell because out of the ghetto.
No, man, that ain't why he spells it wrong. He spelled it Ice-T on purpose.
Yeah, it's I-C-E, capital T.
Well, why doesn't he spell it the right way?
That's my question.
Because that's the way he wants to spell it.
That's the play on it. What, are you telling me he doesn't know how to spell iced tea?
Shouldn't it be I-C-E-D?
No, it should not. It's I-C-E-T. Iced tea. Maybe his name is Tom. Maybe he's cool, so they call him Iced Tea. Something like that.
Oh, I see, yes. One of those street deals.
Yeah. So, welcome to the show.
You almost said the F. He lit the record show. He almost went,
Yeah, I know. And today on the program, we have, we're bringing back by request a bit called As You Like to Hear Them.
Oh, good. Everyone, yay. Everyone likes this. They do. Seriously, I'm not being sarcastic or facetious. Or
you talk about facetious.
Yes, I'm not being facetious.
Josie, so you really like it.
Well, no, I don't like it. I think it's going to geld your career. I think if your career were a racehorse, it would essentially take its...
balls.
Yes, away. But I still applaud you for the courage that it takes to destroy a very good career, Phil, of some 40 years. Now then...
All right, thank you very much, Margaret. I feel so much better. So, yeah, we will have on the show, as a part of As You Like to Hear Them, not really, but the voice of Lou Dickey, who is the former CEO of, or one of the CEOs, the former head of something over there at Cumulus, which is the largest, the second largest radio company in America. The Dickey brothers were shown the door.
What do you mean the Dickey brothers?
Well, there were two of them. There's Lou and John.
Which one are you going to do?
We're to do Lou.
Now, it's really not Lou. It's As You Like to Hear Them.
Yes. As You Like to Hear Them is our way of presenting an interview if it was presented the way that we wanted to hear it. You know.
Well, in other words, you're going to ask a lot of insulting questions, and they will squirm, and they will sort of twitch, but they'll be forced to answer the questions because you are doing their voice.
Yeah, that's it, essentially.
So it's a sadistic exercise in ruining a man's reputation even more...
No, it is none of that. No. It's just asking the hard questions. Let's just call it... It's asking the hard questions that generally are not asked... And we will ask them. And today, in kicking off As You Like to Hear Them, and what should we do? Make this a regular...
I think Tuesday is good, but I don't think you should limit it to one day a week. You should do it when you should do it.
Yeah, do it when it moves you.
When it moves him.
So, you know what? I think once a week.
Well, I don't know, Phil. I wouldn't pin it down. I wouldn't nail it down. I would allow yourself a little bit of wiggle room.
Look at Phil. If you ask me... I would limit it to one a week, but I would wait to see what the feedback is and the fallout. You know what I'm saying? Find out what the scuttlebutt is and see what kind of, you know, what rumblings there are and what the poop is, you know, and all...
And all those other military terms for horse shit, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So,
My God.
So, anyway, welcome to the program here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this Tuesday. We had a blazing hot few days, if you could believe it. This is the thing that blows me away more than anything, man. It was cold as a, in the proverbial, in the words of Jack Nicholson.
Yes, Jack Nicholson in The Last Detail.
Yeah. When he said, colder than a witch's boob, ain't it?
Well, I wouldn't, I, that, you were going to quote that. I was going to quote some other.
Margaret, he's quoting what he wants to.
There are so many other.
To quote Jack Nicholson, it's colder than a witch's boob. And it was extremely cold last weekend. Then we get to this weekend, and all of a sudden, man, it is like insane. It was hotter than hell, and
yeah, it had to open up a lot of the windows and everything.
It was hotter than hell, man. It was like we had a Santa Ana condition. So I don't know what it's going to be like here for the remainder of the week. We don't do the weather around here. Bob Bacon is up doing traffic right now. Bob, you don't know what the weather is, do you?
Phil, I'm telling you, traffic is real heat. And there's the heat up here, the Champs-Élysées, which is where it's pounded it down right there in France, too. I tell you what, I do know the traffic. What's up, Ben?
All right, lay the traffic on us.
Okay, well, I'm on 15 freeway. I'm going down today. I got a fly on my windshield and one on my mount guard, and it was mounted on my mount guard until Flyboy and Skyboy. You get Flyboy?
Skyboy, how's it been?
All right. They're down here on the Cream Freeway. DMBA Cream, and as well as Jimmy Hendrix down there in Skyboy. There is a, it looks like a car that's been motorized, and there's a motorized bicycle down there, the motorized van, and there's a lot of motorized there. She's old hump. Yeah, she's the old hump, and she's doing good. Here's Skyboy.
I got something.
She loves spotlight. She make that thing go.
Oh, that Skyboy, his voice just all of a sudden gets very dramatic, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Anyway, thanks very much, Bob and Skyboy.
And again, why don't you put some gasoline in that piece?
That piece of shit.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know why they don't do that. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley up here. And Margaret, I know you were talking to those guys earlier on in the, just before we went on the air. Yoga is very, very popular among so many people. It's popular not only just among women, it's popular among men. And yoga's been one of those things that's been on for, on the landscape. On the, what do we call that?
Well, it's like the cultural landscape, yeah, yoga, and I have been a practitioner of yoga for a great many years. I know that Bobby Dooley is. I don't think you got into it quite as early as I did, Bobby. But a very pleasant good morning. Is Steve there?
Yes, Steve's here.
Yeah, we're going to do yoga.
I don't, you know, you may be right, Margaret, but I did get into yoga very early. I don't think, you know, pointing out that you got into it before I did does any of us any good. I don't think it is. I don't think this is the time or the place to divide us.
How is that dividing us?
Well, you're.
I simply said I've been into yoga much longer than you. And so I guess, yes, in a way you could say that makes me. I've been with it, and.
See, right there, you're going to use that to say you're more with it. And you're more now.
That doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. Let's just say, Bobby, you've been in it almost as long as her.
But again, she gets the benefit.
Doesn't make any difference. Yeah.
She gets the benefit of being with it now.
Well, and why wouldn't I get the benefit of that?
All right, I'm not going to have this discussion. The discussion as to who's with it and now and who's been into yoga further or longer or whatever ends.
Further? What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Who's been in it longer, it ends now.
All right, well, that's fine, Phil, but this discussion has not ended. I can assure you that it's to be continued.
Yeah, to be continued, Miss Gray.
Oh, well, okay. I'm really nervous about that.
Well,
I think it's wrong.
Look, what did I just say?
I'm sorry.
Phil, I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
Well, yes, you did.
Excuse me.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
I'm going to hang up here in 2 seconds. All right. Now, Bobby, you have been vocal here with this group called Cultural. It's a group called Cultural Respect, right?
Well, that is the working title of our group that is working out of Western Estates right now. And the reason why we call it that is because there is a lot of cultural disrespect. Yoga is a very big part of my life. I'm sure Margaret would say that it's a very big part of her life. Steve is just now getting into it as a man. Men are not quite as, and I say this with a great deal of respect, but men are not quite as bright when it comes to these very edgy cultural disciplines such as yoga. And
by the way, and I'm not saying you're pronouncing it wrong, Bobby. I just wanted to let Phil know that the alternative French is yoga.
Jesus Christ.
Excuse me.
All right, hold on, everybody.
You're always doing that, Margaret, with the yoga. We get it, okay?
And who is we?
We, all of the other people, and you're alone. I represent all of everyone listening. And
well, no, I don't think you do. I think I'm speaking for a great many people when I say that yoga is an alternative expression.
All right, I want to call it yoga because that's what most people call it, and I don't want to go down the French pronunciation road just yet, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. The yoga. I mean, I like Ms. Gray. You should know that I like to call it yoga, and much to my wife's.
I don't like hearing you do that, Steve.
I know, but I think yoga. You know, I got to go get my yoga mat.
Your yoga map?
I mean, my mat, not map.
What would be on a yoga map?
I don't know, everywhere that you want to, everywhere that you go. Ow, you hit me.
Yes, I did. Now go get your mat.
God damn.
Ms. Dooley, I told you once before that I didn't want any of that.
Any what?
None of the slapping of people.
Well, I'm so very sorry, Mr. Henry, but my husband was out of line. He's going, oh, anywhere you go. That's disrespectful. And again, this is what we're talking about. Yoga is a discipline that comes from India. Okay, Mr. Andrew?
Yeah.
All right. Yoga comes from India. Well, guess what happened in India? Back in, I don't know when.
Well, it was around...
Excuse me. The British came in.
Oh, hold on for a minute. I want to be able to have these historic, this historic context, if you don't mind, Ms. Dooley. So you were going to say, Margaret?
Yes, it was the 17th, 18th century that the British did eventually complete the conquest of India.
All right, so for the 18th century, so that would make it the 17s, right?
The 1700s, yes.
Okay, the 1700s. Well, in India, they were doing the yoga. And they're doing it, and they're doing it, and they're doing it, and they're doing it. And then, in the 1700s, came the British, and they conquered it, you know.
What, they conquered what, India?
Yes, they conquered India. And then, after they conquered India, they started to, Steve...
Well, they messed around with it.
Yeah, the British did or the Indian?
No, the British, they messed around with yoga because they're like, yeah, we're British, we're here. And what are you doing? Oh, you're doing, well, I better not say yoga, but you're doing yoga? And
I wish you would say yoga because I want Margaret to get the feel as to how really wrecked it sounds.
I don't think it sounds wrecked at all. I think it sounds very elegant. Thank you, Mr. Dooley.
That's all right.
Stop saying it.
Okay. But the British came in and they said, wow, yoga is really wrecked and you people look like about 100 yards of wound up weirdo, you know. And so the British started to mess it up. And then the other thing they did is they said, oh, well, you know what? Our wives and our girlfriends like doing it, so we'll take it to the Britain land or the England, and they'll learn how to do it.
All right, so what you're saying here is that yoga was essentially appropriated from the Indian culture, taken to England, taken to America, and so on.
Yes, it was, Phil. This kind of cultural appropriation... Okay, is wrong, and it's against the morals of, I don't know, the morals of everybody, you know?
Yeah, it's against the morals.
All right, can I say something?
No, Margaret, hold on. I'd like to ask some questions.
Fine.
Ms. Dooley, do you believe that everything that arrives on our shores from another country, whether it be yoga, let's say a style of cooking, a kind of coffee, karate, judo, do you find those to be disciplines or elements of culture that have been appropriated?
No, not always, because a lot of them come from countries that were not culturally exploited or politically exploited.
Well, Japan was.
No, Japan was. Yes, Japan was, but... Okay, are you talking about judo?
Yes, the jiu-jitsu and the judo and the jiu-jitsu or whatever you call it. That, and also, let's not forget taekwondo, which I think is, that's Korean. And then you have the kung fu.
Yeah, the kung fu's bitchin'. That comes from where? That's from the China.
Yeah, Kung Fu comes from China.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have all of those things, and those countries were manipulated, weren't they?
No, they were not, General, because, first of all...
What are you talking about?
First of all, if I may, Japan was not manipulated. Japan was... They attacked the world. And then America, yes, then America did, yes, bomb them with an A-bomb.
Oh, my God, that's the country that got the A-bomb.
Yeah, see, that's the one that got the A-bomb, see? See? And there was two of them.
Yes, I know there were two of them. So, what about that, Phil?
What about what?
Well, what about the fact... Hey, wait a minute. The Japanese, if any country asked for it, man, they... Oh, baby, they were begging for it.
Well, I don't see it that way, General. But let's just say that the Japanese... deserved the A-bomb. So their country was not manipulated.
Can we stop calling it manipulated and say it's manipulated?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, what's the problem?
What are you looking at?
Well, what is the problem?
Manipulated, not manipulated, if you don't mind.
Well, okay, Phil. Mr. Diction, with the emphasis on the first syllable.
Oh, my God. Yo, Mr.
All right, thank you very much.
Well, Phil...
Okay, just forget all of that happy horse dung, and let's get back to this. So what about China? You're telling me they were culturally manipulated and so forth?
Yes, they were. China was taken over by the British, and then the Germans and Italian... A bunch of people took them over, but then they did kick them out with the Boxer. The Boxer Rebellion.
Yeah, I said it was the Boxer Short Rebellion to my wife.
Yeah, it's really not funny.
I thought it was.
I don't care if you thought it was. It isn't.
God damn it.
But the Boxer Rebellion, Phil, okay, took place at the turn of the 20th century. And that's when the Chinese and the China people threw out...
Well, what do you mean the Chinese and the China people? It's the same people.
What?
It's the same people, isn't it?
It's the same people. Yes. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yes, okay, fine, God. They threw them out.
All right, so what do you call a country that has been exploited and that has been manipulated and has been...
Or as you like to say, manipulated.
Phil said not to say that.
Right.
Take it easy. So what do you call a country? What has to have happened to a country in order for it to have been manipulated?
Well, I think, first of all, you're conquered. Okay, the country has to be conquered for a long, long time. Not just for a few years, and not right after they did a lot of stuff that was bad. Because the Japanese did a lot of bad stuff. Okay? The stuff they did was bad. And there's no way that you can say that it wasn't bad.
Okay, so the Japanese...
Yes, the Japanese did a lot of bad things.
What about the Chinese?
Well, what about them?
What bad stuff did they do?
They became communist.
Yeah, hello. They became communist.
They didn't become communist until after all that stuff was happening, like you said.
What? What is he talking about?
The Chinese did not become communist until 1948, after World War II, after the Boxer Rebellion, after all that other stuff.
Okay, Steve, double check that, will you please? This always, Phil. When you bring this up on the air and you attempt to embarrass myself and Steve, it only could redound negatively towards you.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I'm not trying to do anything other than be accurate. If you want to, you say that what did the Chinese do wrong? They became communists.
It isn't that they did anything wrong. It's that they were deserving of the conquering. And then there's Korea. Well, we all know about Korea. They had communism. And
it's communism, not communism.
Well, get a load of listen to the diction Nazi here, Margaret.
Well, he does that a lot.
Margaret, you're someone who likes to speak the French pronunciation. What's wrong with communism?
I think communism... I think with Bobby. Bobby doesn't know any better.
Excuse me?
Nothing, dear. I'm just... Bobby and her husband are a couple of idiots.
What's she saying? I can hear something.
Hold on, will you?
And they can sing.
Okay.
Well, I can certainly hear you talking about us. I didn't hear what you said, but I heard Bobby and this, that. Now, what were you saying? I demand to know.
They were talking about how you are a very intelligent and wonderful woman.
That's bullshit. Yep. I'm pretending to hang up.
Don't hang up.
I'm not. I'm pretending to.
God damn it. We want to hang up so bad.
we won't be allowed to.
All right. So Bobby and Steve Dooley with us here this morning on the Phil Hendry Show talking about the cultural appropriation of yoga. Now, this is not just happening at their Western Estates Homeowners Association. It's happening in Canada at a university. Did you get this idea from the news story?
No, we didn't get the idea from Phil, you have to understand something. Steve and I stand as originals. Yay, yay. We,
Would you please not go yay, yay? Because it's going to drive me to the point where I want to put red-hot knitting needles up my rectum. Yes, you heard me right. Up my rectum.
My God, I demand to be allowed off of your air.
Miss Dooley, please. General,
well, I cannot take it.
I'm simply trying to see if people understand. I do not want to be on your show anymore, Phil.
But would you please finish your point?
Well, okay.
Here, I'll do it. Because my wife will not be... I'm not going to have my wife on the airway when a guy talk about sticking it up the rectum. Okay? My wife doesn't do that. And...
He's not talking about me. He's talking about himself, you stupid...
Ow! Oh, right in the nut.
Oh, my God, he said.
You know, you ought to throw her off the air, Phil. I want everybody to calm down.
Right in the nut.
Well, Steve, then shut the hole under your nose.
Fuck.
All right.
So you're laughing at a man getting kicked in the balls?
Is that what he's doing?
No, I am not. When we're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley. We were talking to Steve, but he's off... looking for a bag of ice.
Oh, my. So you think it's a big laugh riot, huh? Let me show you how funny it is. Come here, Steve.
What? Ah, right in the ball sack.
Hey, do you think that's funny?
Ms. Dooley, I'm going to call a cop if you do that one more time.
I beg your pardon?
That is domestic abuse, and you could go to jail for that.
Okay, you know, I'm done, Phil.
Yeah, thank you very much.
What an asshole, man. Boy, that's too bad.
Yeah, my nutsack.
You see what you're doing here?
Walk it off, bud. Get out of here, Robert.
See, you encourage them when you do that.
I didn't do it. I didn't say a thing. It's Steve Dooley doing that stuff. Okay, so the cultural appropriation of yoga. So that was all a true story, huh?
Well, it was a story that I've had. Margaret showed me that these clowns in Canada, I don't mean clowns because I have a great many friends in Canada, but for crying out loud, people, you know, yoga came here from India. It doesn't matter how it arrived. This is how culture, and these are how ideas spread from one culture to another. This is how farming spread. This is how writing spread. This is how the idea of the printing press. It is taken from one culture to another. And, see, I belched. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did, but I ignored it.
All right. Why do we have to point that out?
Well, she's the one. She always wants it pointed out.
Yeah, do I see him? Who belched?
Oh, are you back? Are you all done laughing?
Yes, sir.
You too?
Yes, sir.
Sit down. All right, we don't need to point out when you belch, General.
All right, I'm simply trying to be, you know, trying to play by the rules around here. The place is such a nutcase.
All right.
What the hell in the name of everything holy is this?
Oh, it's yay-yay. That's what it is.
Oh, it's yay-yay.
Shit. All right, it's Schoolboy Q is who it is. Yay-yay. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Thank you, Bobby and Steve, for that update. Yeah, the whole yoga thing going on, it's kind of a political... It's kind of, what do you call it?
It's very PC. I happen to agree with it, Phil. If something has been taken from a country that has been... basically subsumed and subjugated to a violation the likes of which can only be compared to what happens to you if you are led into a cell with a big... Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Hendry is laughing at the idea of two big, big diesel dykes waiting for me with a broom handle.
Thank you very much, Margaret.
No, don't make it seem like I did it.
World famous Phil Hendry, she'll be right back.
This is the most jack. Get this jack ball jive.
Yay, yay. Well, that's what you say if you win. If you win some money at.
At DraftKings, what I'll sage?
What you'll say if you win money at DraftKings. All right, on the line with us, Chef Carl Cedilia from Ted's of Beverly Hills, the restaurant, not only the restaurant, the place, the man, the myth, the legend, Chef Cedilia. Kind of a rough week last week, Chef Carl, with so many people in there and You were involved in so many. Now you have Thanksgiving coming up.
Well, you have Thanksgiving coming up, Phil, and this is a wonderful time. And by the way, on the show on Thursday morning, I, Chef Carl Segolio, will be cooking my special butter stick turkey tom with the butterball turkey tom.
Now, what is that again?
This is my special five butter stick butterball for turkey tom. Or Tom Turkey. I'd like to call it the Turkey to Tom.
This is the five butter sticks.
No, I don't stutter. I don't know what's with you people.
We can't understand you, sir.
Uh-huh. That, to me, is a racist.
What is racist about that?
Because I have a amount of... Never mind. Forget it.
All right, well, look at Chef. Can we keep everything nice?
I'm trying to keep it nice. I'm just saying, when you guys say you're terrible stubborn, you're saying basically I've got so much fat that's shoving up on my tongue that you're trying to tell what it is, right?
Sometimes, yeah. I didn't say why, though.
Well, because there's a lot of fat that maybe... I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm sure you're thinking there's a lot of fat that's just lifting my tongue up off the floor of my mouth, right?
Because of the fat? Because of the what?
Because of the fat.
Because of your thigh?
That's fat, man. Fuck. Take it easy. Phil, it's Ted Bell. Listen, man, just take it easy, all right? Phil, look it. Chef Giudilli is going to be cooking up his famous five-stick turkey tom butterball turkey for Thanksgiving. He's going to be on your program on Thursday. He's also going to be doing several of them here at Ted's in Beverly Hills. You know, we're open on Thanksgiving, Phil, because it's one of our biggest days. We have a lot of people like to come in and have their Thanksgiving dinner here because they don't want to hassle it at home. They don't want to sit there and mess around with a turkey. They don't want to pretend like they know what they're doing when they don't. Because let's face it, a lot of people don't. But Chef Giudilli, okay, you're right. What's that? I don't understand a word this fat ass. Fat ass?
Okay, so, Chef, what are we doing today?
All right, well, today, what I'd like to do is we're going to be doing our turkey, as you know, on Thanksgiving. But I wanted to take another run, Phil, at vegetarian jambalaya. Vegetarian jambalaya, because we don't want to put any seafood in there. When you're going to be enjoying the turkey, you saw my friend? When you enjoy the turkey?
When you enjoy the what?
The turkey!
I just heard you say, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I did, because I'm trying to... The turkey, okay?
What are you eating?
I got a Tootsie Pop. Here, take this, will you, for fuck's sake? Now, you feel better now?
Yeah, I can understand. What are you sucking on a Tootsie Pop while you're trying to talk to us?
Wow, what a dickhead, man. I'm trying to... Anyway,
let the guy have a Tootsie Pop.
A guy can't even... the lousy Tootsie Pop. And I can't even have that.
Chef Giudilli, we're sorry.
Well, I'm just...
I couldn't understand what you were saying, sir.
I understand that. All I had to say was, hey, Chef Giudilli, you mind taking whatever you got in your mouth out? Well, you probably shouldn't have said that.
Could be taken the wrong way.
You better believe I'd take it the wrong way. I'll tell you what. All right, so the Tootsie Pop, can I have an occasional lick?
Can you have an occasional lick? Yeah, sure. You can have an occasional lick. Ow!
Shut your mouth, okay?
Yeah, man.
Oh, so you're saying I can have an occasional lick on your Tootsie Pop? What a bunch of fuck. Yeah. Hey, he's pissed off. What's the problem? Well, what's the problem? This guy over here is saying that, ooh, the guy on the Henry Show said that I could have a lick on his Tootsie Pop. Well, that's what you get for sucking on those things morning, noon, and night. Every time I come in here, the guy's got the Tootsie Pop shoved in the face. Well, what? So what? Well, people need to understand what you're saying. I can't understand a word you're saying. Well, I'll say, hey, Chef Giudilli, and whoa, we can slow down for Christ almighty, Ted. I say, hey, Chef Giudilli, what are you cooking up today? And this is what you sound like, rah, 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 rah. Oh, bullshit. You know, really? Ask Phil.
It's true.
Well, you know, if I can't have a lousy Tootsie Pop, then... And by the way, Dickman, I've got a long memory. I'll remember you. Next time I see you, don't worry about it.
Now, what are you going to do?
Who was that?
Robert.
Oh, what are you, all of a sudden a bodyguard?
Maybe. What do you think you're going to do?
I'm going to kick his fucking ass. What do you think about that?
You know what? I blame you.
Of course you blame me. Why wouldn't you blame me?
Well, Phil, it is your fault for countenancing that man for as long as you have.
I had that guy on the show because you guys wanted to have a cooking segment, and you suggested that we use Chef Carl Chiodadilia, or whatever the hell his name is. So we did. And what do I get for my trouble? What do I get for my whatever the hell you want to call it? For my...
For your trouble?
For my trouble. I get nothing but grief. All right, so are we done with that?
Chef Tortadilla? Chef Tortadilla, please. Hold on.
Hey, bud.
Hold on. Yeah, Chef Tortadilla. Yeah, Bud Dickman, yeah. Well, I'm just making a joke. Are you off the air? About what? Because I told you to lick the pop? I said you... Okay, yeah. I apologize.
Thank you, bud, for doing that.
Yeah, but hold on. I apologize.
That's very big of you, bud.
Yes. Yeah, I apologize. I apologize for saying you should lick my pop. Yeah. Am I on the air? Yeah, but you're not. Yeah, hello? Hello? He hung up.
Oh. Well, of course he's going to hang up.
What does that mean, of course he's going to hang up?
He knows that you're on the air mocking him. You know?
I wasn't mocking him.
Yeah, you were, man. See, I'm talking about licking my pop and everything like that.
All right, we're going to take another break here on the Phil Henry Show. I'll try to get him back on. We also have on the program today, not only Chef Tortadilla, we have, as you like to hear them, an interview with Lou Dickey, the ousted CEO of Cumulus Radio. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police will talk about the Turkish jet down by the... Yes, I know, General.
You're not going to have that ass on talking about that without me weighing in.
We're trying to get a civilian's point of view with the security, you know, with an experience in the security business.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
And this is Margaret Gray. What you're listening to right there is some unconscionable garbage that hopefully somewhere along the line someone will discover and do the right thing and spray it with insecticide and take all those... never mind. Coming up on the world famous Phil Henry Show on Thursday, this is going to be something very special for all of you. It will be not only the Phil Henry Show, but immediately following the show, the Milwaukee Lions live from Houston, Texas, and Thanksgiving Day football featuring the Lions and the Houston Sweat. They'll be playing in the Sweat Pit. That's the name of their stadium, right?
Yes, it's as far as I know.
It'll be Jack Igagdor along with Brett Morrison.
Yeah, Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison calling the play-by-play immediately following the show on Thursday here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Milwaukee Lions at Houston against the Houston Sweat. The Lions come into that game at 5-6. Houston is 1-10, so they're really...
Yeah, Houston stinks, man.
Yeah, they're an expanding team.
They're not an expanding team. They're an expansion team, man. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Thank you very much to whoever the hell you guys were. And
what was the name of that group anyway, bud?
That was the Blimp Tonics, or... No. It's the Clear... I forget.
You forget. It was Ice Nine Kills, who it was.
Yeah, every time I... Wasn't there a nine-inch... I shouldn't say...
Nine-inch nails.
Well, I didn't know. I wasn't talking about that. Wasn't there a nine-inch...
Penis?
What an asshole.
Hey, watch it, will you?
He did that on purpose.
No, Sid, nine-inch...
Nine-inch nails.
Yes, right there. That was it. Wasn't there one of the group like that?
Yes, there was. Nine-inch nails. All right, back to the Phil Henry Show here, ladies and gentlemen. We have... we're very, very happy to have with us here on the program this morning is a segment that at one time we did on the show, and then we stopped doing it. We actually did it back when we were doing the radio show, and then we just sort of stopped. But it has been brought back by popular demand, and it is called As You Like to Hear Them. And As You Like to Hear Them is an interview with a prominent individual in the news. A prominent individual in the news who isn't really with us, whose voice is being approximated by moi, but answering questions in a way perhaps that they would never answer those questions if we really had the people on. So basically what it is a way of us imagining these answers here on As You'd Like to Hear Them. And today we have with us Lou Dickey.
Let me ask you, why do you have Lou Dickey on, who is the former CEO of Cumulus?
Because I just thought it would be interesting to interview a...
No, you thought it would be fun to humiliate a former radio suit, as you like to call them.
No, I didn't, Margaret.
Bob, it's a valid point, Mr. Henry.
Oh, no, wait, hold on for a minute. Because I happen to have a point of view, I'm not allowed to express that point of view on the show.
Yeah, no, but you want to drag this guy's name through the mud and make him look like 100 yards of a 100 yards of a monkey...
To look like 100 yards of grapevine crawling on a monkey.
No. The phrase would be make him look like a monkey on 100 yards of grapevine.
Yeah, right there. That's what it is.
But no, that's not what I want to do. Okay, does that make you happy?
No, it doesn't, because we know you're going to do it.
No, I'm just saying, to be honest, you want to chump change the guy?
Yeah, you want to chump change him? And you want to chump change him for a dollar? You see?
No, I don't see.
You want to chump change this guy for a buck and then shortchange him on the chump change for the dollar.
Would you guys bust bug this guy? I'm talking about. Anyway, folks, welcome here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show to, as you like to hear them, a feature on our show with Mr. Lou Dickey here from Cumulus. Well, actually, formerly of Cumulus. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine, and I anticipate that. Never mind.
Never mind what?
I anticipate you're going to do exactly what the people said that you're going to do.
What, try to humiliate you?
Yes, exactly.
Well, let me ask you, sir, before you just assume that I'm going to try and humiliate you. No, I'm not going to try and humiliate you. I want to get some real answers from you, all right? Now, you took over as you and your brother John, right?
Yeah.
In the late 90s, Cumulus.
That's correct, yes.
And you had a lot of experience in radio management and sales, correct?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
So what are you going to ask me? Why is it we effed up the Cumulus job? Isn't that right?
No, I haven't said that at all.
Well, I mean, that's the whole purpose, you bringing me on your program. That's what you want to do. You want to say, oh, Mr. Dickey, why did you screw up the Cumulus job?
Well, let me ask you a question, okay? Because I think you were the one quoted as saying that there was, for instance, no money in digital.
No, that was my brother, John.
Are you sure?
No. I mean, I might say, I don't know. I mean, all right, let's say that I did say that. What I meant...
No, hold on, wait. Before you, I just want to say, you've made some statements. The reason why I brought that up is you've made some statements down through the years that might have been an indicator as to your capability, what kind of capability you had in managing radio. Let's just hold on for a minute, okay?
But, well, what is this anyway? You know, I mean, I managed that company the best of my ability for a number of years.
And you oversaw the degrading of that company. You oversaw a company that went from whatever it used to be. It had to have been at least, you know, $50 a share or $35 a share or whatever. What was the share price when you guys were let go?
I think this is a very unfair question, Phil.
What was the share price when they let you guys go?
20 cents.
I'm sorry?
Oh, my God.
20 cents, okay? 20 cents. 20 cents. You feel better? Because you're the guy, Mr. Hendry, who I believe tweeted that out or whatever you want to call it. You said, hey, the Dickey brothers, nice job, 20 cents a share. So you were celebrating. You were celebrating the demise of our company. And in so celebrating the demise of our company, you were celebrating a lot of people losing their jobs. You were celebrating a lot of people getting put in the street. You were celebrating a lot of people, you know, you were celebrating a lot, you know.
Well, all right, so I'm not celebrating anything. What I'm trying to do is make a point here.
No. You were celebrating people being put out in the street and an entire industry going to hell in a handcart. Did you think it was funny?
No, I didn't think it was funny. I thought that what you guys did to the business...
We guys.
Yeah, what you guys did to the business, you guys that ran the business, you guys that oversaw all of these decisions, all of these big important changes...
Oh, it was all our fault then. So the talent can go out there and you guys can...
They can do what, sir? This is General Shaw, sir.
Yes, sir.
I may be on your side. They can do what?
They go out there and they bang all these chicks.
And you can't.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
We go out there and we...
What did he say?
I said, Ms. Graypart, I said they bang all these... They go out and they play rock star, these guys, the talent. Now, this is the radio business, Phil. This isn't the TV business. It's not the film business. This is radio. And in radio, there is no real star other than those of us who wear the suits, as you call us, and who are the general managers and are the CEOs. We're the stars. And when you guys start lording it over us and you start walking around and you got all these broads and you got everything and you don't even acknowledge us and say, oh, by the way, my general manager, what is that about? You know what?
I don't know why you guys got that attitude about talent.
Because you guys, yeah, you don't understand. Sales, sales, sales. Advertising, advertising, advertising. That's what it's all about. Even the new guy at Cumulus will tell you that. Marcus will say, we got to do more for the advertiser, more for the advertiser, more for the advertiser. He's not talking about the listener. He's not talking about talent. More for the advertiser, okay?
So let's forget about the listener and...
No, I didn't say that.
Well, yes, you did, sir, Mr. Dickey. You said more for the advertiser. Forget about the listener.
All right, if I said that, I didn't mean to say that. Do more for the advertiser, but yeah, also the listener too. but do more. And the talent, they don't mean anything other than the fact that apparently we have to have them. But here is...
Well, right there. See, there's the point. You have to have them. Now, if the talent was such a pain in the ass and advertising was everything, why didn't you get rid of the talent and just, you know, play music?
Well, I mean, that's what Clear Channel's doing. And had I had 5 cents worth of brains, that's what I would have done. Oh, God. Anyway, what we did do is we invested in Michael Savage. And that's talent, right? Isn't that talent, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, that's talent. That's a type of talent. That Michael Savage is a radio talk show host that does politics. What else?
What do you mean, woo-hoo, what else? I mean, that's not enough for you, huh?
No, that's not enough. You've got one show, and what else did you do?
We brought in Mike Huckabee, okay? That's what we did. And
Mike Huckabee.
Oh, get a load of this. Hey, John, I got a guy on the radio.
Hey, sir, would you talk to me?
Sorry. Mike, we brought in Bill O'Reilly. We brought in Fred Thompson. We brought in some gigantic talent, and it was, and guess what? It all bombed. Proving that what we really should have done, what we really should have done, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
What you really should have done?
Yeah, what we really should have done is stuck with the music.
All right, so you brought in a lot of second-rate talent.
Oh, so Michael Savage is second-rate. Wait till I tell him that, because he happens to know you, Phil, and he happens to be a big fan of yours. I don't know why.
No, I didn't say Michael. I said second-rate talent like Fred Thompson, like Bill O'Reilly, like...
Bill O'Reilly, second-rate... Wow. Woo-hoo! Hey, Johnny, there's a guy over here...
You have to talk to Mr. Hendry.
Sorry. You called Bill O'Reilly...
On the radio, yeah. Bill O'Reilly was horrible. Everybody knows it, okay? Fred Thompson should never have been given a show. Mike Huckabee, that's got to be a joke. And when you were quoted as saying that Huckabee was really a valid response to Rush Limbaugh, how do you feel about that?
How do you feel about that? I feel terrible. I made a mistake. I made a miscalculation, okay? But that is not to say that because Mike Huckabee stiffed it out, that suddenly I should be running out and grabbing bunches and bunches of talent and sticking them on the air, giving them a microphone, and letting them perform? What is that about? What are you talking about, man? I got a company to run.
Yeah, and you ran it into the ground. You ran it right into the ground with your choice of talent, your choice of programming.
Look at... So you're saying I'm supposed to put people on the air...
And then now let's talk about something else, as long as I have you on the line here, Lou.
Yeah, as long as you have me on the line here, Lou. I'm sitting here captive to your horse dung, all right? I got my brother John is sitting here looking at me and laughing. He thinks this whole thing's a big laugh riot.
Well, we tried to get him on, but he refused. He said, why don't you talk to my brother Lou? And
he swear to God, did you see that, John? What up? What a punk face. All right, so here is the thing that I would say. I would say that we have, Clear Channel invested in music. The
iHeart app.
Yeah, the iHeart app. I mean the iHeart app. Oh man, I am so nervous.
The iHeart app. Ain't that what it is?
Yeah, it's called the iHeart app.
Yes, it's the iHeart app. What do you mean, ain't that what it is?
Yeah, and you're complaining about me. The iHeart app.
All right, so hold on for a minute.
I want to finish my thought.
Go on.
The iHeart app. Fuck it, I forget.
My question, sir, is Clear Channel is very clearly going down their iHeart Radio, excuse me.
Yeah, I have some respect. It's called iHeart Media, not radio. Okay? It's all about digital now, my man, or haven't you heard?
Oh, well. So you're all in with the digital now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never not been.
Yes, you have. You were the guy that said you couldn't, there was no money in it.
I said, fuck. What else? Let me get back to what I was saying. iHeart or iHeart Media is investing in music, and I think it's a very smart play. We did. We had Nash, okay? Nash. Hello?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
What the hell was Nash?
That was all like music and everything.
That's music.
Yes, it's music. Hey, get a load of this guy. Hey, John. There's a guy.
Hey, me, please?
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean country music.
So Nash was country music?
Yes, Nash was country music. Nash was country music.
All right, and that was going to be your big play.
Hey, let me tell you something, my fine feathered friend. We had Nash was not only country music, we had a whole line of country clothing. We had clubs. We had a country label. We were going all in on country, okay? Because music is, see, nobody had really looked at music that way. And we decided, let's go all in, and, you know, and...
All right, you went all in. How did that do for you?
It didn't do well at all right? It was a bad decision on my part, one of many that I made, and perhaps I should have done what Phil said, invested more in talent, in radio talent, and expanded our horizons in that direction, but I decided to... Fuck it.
Let's get the quote so everyone will remember it as long as they live, okay?
What's that one?
This was you, Lou, and this was in 2014, I think. You said, 2013, you said there's no money in digital.
Oh, come on, will you?
No, wait, hold on. You said there's no money in digital. 30 days later, you were quoted as saying, we're burning the midnight oil on this digital thing to see what's...
Yeah, I took another look at it.
You took another look at it? You don't sound like a CEO that really's got both oars in the water, man. You don't know what the lay of the land is, brother. You should have seen at least at that time that a lot of people were accessing digital.
All right, a lot of people were accessing digital. How do you make money on it?
Let me explain something. Norm Pattiz...
Oh, not that pain in the ass, Norm Pattiz. Every time somebody brings up anything, there's Norm Pattiz.
Let me tell you what he did. That guy did a variety of surveys and a lot of research into how they could figure out what the demos were, they figure out what the ages were, they figure out a lot of stuff, okay?
Yeah, all right, so you're propping your pal.
No, I'm saying there's a way of doing it. If you've got the energy and the brains.
Well, that hurts.
Well?
That hurts. So I didn't have the energy or the brains.
If you wanted to find out where the money was in digital, you got to begin to figure out where it is, man. Because if you've got 40 to 50 to 60 million Americans that are using podcasts now, that are listening to that stuff, you got to figure out where that money is.
Are you making money with your show?
Yes.
Bullshit.
I'm making... What? Why would I lie to you, man? We're making it on a subscription model and we're making it on advertising.
Hey, John.
Hey, me.
Sorry. I just want to find, what are we having lunch? You going to golf? Yeah, I got to go to lunch, okay?
Yeah, you do that, man.
What a dickhead.
Okay, is he gone?
Hello? Mr. Dickhead? Dickley? Mr. Dickey, I'm sorry.
But turn that down, man. Is he there?
You there?
No, I'm not.
He's not there.
All right.
So that's what we're talking about, see? You want to make fun of the guy.
I didn't make fun of that guy at all. I asked a lot of really... I thought I asked pretty good questions. Did you say this? How are you going to do that? Nash.
What is this Nash? I don't understand that.
The guy was going to go country music.
Yeah, he was going all in country music.
It was a bunch of country stations. But not only was it going to be country stations, they were going to have a country label. They had artists that they'd signed, I think, to these labels. So they were. It was a self-contained universe of artists that they signed, of radio station that would play the music, of... I can't think of anything that sounds more boring than to just, hey, here's our little stable of artists, and this is what we're going to play. And then they had their own guy...
they had a clothing line, right?
A clothing line.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And,
You know, the thing about those country clothing lines, they always run in the area of jeans. And the jeans are always very skin tight, which is fine. But when you look at the butt...
Yeah, look at the butt size.
It's never very good. So what else did they do?
Well, that was... I don't know what else. You know, it was a lot of different things. And when I saw this guy interviewed back in, I think it was August when he gave this interview, and by the end of September, they'd driven these guys out of the business. These two guys, the Dickey brothers, with all due respect, were the two most obvious in the whole panorama, the whole firmament, the whole universe of radio suits. These were the two most obvious guys that needed to just take a long walk off a short pier, because you cannot ignore, you know...
Well, this guy, you're telling me 22 cents a share, you gotta be bullshitting me.
No, I swear to God.
Yep, that's on the other day.
Well, the other day, but when this guy got canned?
Well, I mean, it was around there. You know, these guys were below $2 a share. You know?
Bill, you went $2 a share.
All right, so, but that still doesn't change the stock price. And to me, you know, who gets to keep their job when they do that?
Well, it was a changing economy.
Yeah, that whole bull crap about the changing, that stuff lasts only so long, you know, and then... You know, what did you do for me lately becomes the law of the land.
Woo-hoo! Well,
famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We got time for our buddy Jay Santos.
I want to talk to this guy Santos about this.
Jay Santos coming up next to talk about this Turkish, this downing of a Russian airliner by the Turkish Air Force, or it's a Russian warplane, I should say, by the Turkish Air Force. Don't forget to support our podcast by signing up for a BSP. We got massive archives, Lions games, classic podcasts, Saturday show, Friday night chats, exclusive pre-show prep and commentary, and high-definition video. Sign up for a Backstage Pass. Become a member of our Backstage Pass family.
Oh, this looks so good.
This is Spotlight. Rachel McAdams and Mark Ruffalo is great.
And Mark Ruffalo, what is this about?
That the priest thing.
Yeah, it looks really good, man. All right, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk about the this story that broke overnight. And we do have Jay on the line here because we simply want to get the civilian perspective. Yes, General, you are going to be asked as well.
All right, just because this guy Santos, with all due respect, as we like to say on this show, Mr. Santos, I don't think you could find it with both hands.
Well, you know, General, I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah, what's so funny?
Nothing's funny. I just, I have nothing but the greatest of respect.
What do you mean the greatest?
I'm sorry, I've got nothing but the greatest of respect for you. And I have nothing but the greatest of respect for all that you are, all that you do, and all that you are. And so my respect for you knows no bound. Okay? And
yeah, what, okay.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
All right, let's move off of that. What we're talking about here is this very serious story that happened, as I said, overnight in Turkey. And this was the matter of a Russian warplane shot down near the Turkish-Syrian border. Turkey said it had responded to a plane after the aircraft repeatedly violated its airspace and ignored several warnings. NATO has called an extraordinary meeting later Tuesday to discuss the incident, according to a NATO official that spoke to CNN.
Well, I think Turkey's in it all the way up to there. And also, I just want to say, as a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, a very happy Thanksgiving to everyone that is listening, and to you, General.
Thank you very much.
And also to you, Margaret, and Bud, and Robert.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
But I think that it is not, Phil, I don't think it's unusual. I don't think it's just a coincidence that on the week that we are celebrating Thanksgiving, where we do have a turkey, that turkey shot down a Russian warplane. Of course, I'm being a little bit fanciful. Obviously, there was no way of knowing that the turkey, you know, was going to shoot down a Russian on a turkey day or in the week where we have a turkey day. But I think it reminds us of our freedoms and the freedom of America on days like today. General?
Is that all you want to say?
Yeah, I
You don't want to say about what you think in terms of the incident?
Well, I certainly do want to say that I think that Turkey is in serious trouble. If they, you know, there's no way at all that a professional Russian jet is gonna fly over Turkey by mistake, in my opinion. So even if it is a war zone, and if it does, and here's the warning, then it's going back to hell off.
All right, can I?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Santos, this is General Shaw, and let me tell you what I bring to bear to the topic, and that is 41 years as a member of the United States military before my retirement, which happened in the year of our Lord. And
all right, we don't have to get into that. Just tell us what you think about.
All right, well, I was going to say that I believe that the Russians are poorly trained individuals. We know this for a fact. We know that their military is poorly trained. We know that their pilots are poorly trained. We know that their infantry is very poorly trained. There's a high level of alcoholism, and I wouldn't doubt at all that those pilots that flew over the Turkish airspace were, at that time, most likely inebriated. So I think it bears all of the similarities to this incident that occurred not too long after the Ronald Reagan said that I'm going to start bombing in 5 minutes. Remember that?
What? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about when Reagan said, I'll start bombing in 3 minutes.
Jesus, this guy's...
General, what are you referring to?
Do you remember when Reagan said that?
Yes, I remember that, but what has that got to do with the Turkish planes?
Because after Reagan said that, there was an order given out of Vladivostok that hostilities had begun between the United States and Russia. It was an order given by a drunk. Do you understand what I'm saying now?
Oh, my God. So you're saying a member of the Russian military?
Yes. A drunk.
All right, so you're telling me that the Russian military had a drunk.
Yes, that's what I've been trying to tell you. And I think it's very likely that these two juice hounds that flew over Turkey, you know...
They've been drinking a dinner.
What's that?
They've been drinking dinner.
They drank a dinner?
They were drinking their dinner.
All right, if you want to put it that way, yes.
Right, but the situation that you talked about in Vladivostok... What's that about?
What the fuck is...
All right, take it easy.
He said, Jay, if I may...
Please, you do it.
He said that back in the 80s, when Ronald Reagan mistakenly, or perhaps intentionally, we don't know, said that I start bombing in 3 minutes, it was a joke, the Russians responded, or at least this one commander in the Russian military responded, by saying that hostilities had begun, and he put this order out to all of the armed forces in the North Pacific. Is that right, Phil?
Yeah, it was to the Northern Pacific Russian fleet.
Right, okay, and so they thought they were going to go to war, but I'm still trying to figure out what that got to do with a juicer that's flying out in the Russian Air Force.
You know, Santos, you're the dumbest ass.
Well, you know, General, call me what you want. I don't understand.
I understand what he's saying. He's saying there's a high incidence of boozing in the Russian military, and as an example of that, he brought up the incident when Reagan gave the speech.
You just said there's a high incidence of boozing. Are you talking about boozing or some...
Boozing! You know exactly what I'm saying.
He knows what you're saying. Santos is bucking to get... He wants to be strangled to death. He really does. Do you remember Ian McKellen playing James Whale in the film Gods and Monsters? And when he looks at Brendan Fraser's character, and Brendan Fraser's character says, what do you want? And he says, I want you to kill me. I'm Brendan Fraser, and Santos is Ian McKellen. God damn it.
Oh, General.
Okay.
God damn, General.
Well, let's...
You know what? I think, General Shaw, with all due respect...
With all due respect, you don't even respect yourself, sir.
What? What is this, eighth grade? I'm saying, with all due respect, I think you ought to lay down. I really honestly feel you need a nap. And...
You know, you know when I get my nap? After I take your fuck...
Now, General...
Well, Mr. I distinctly heard the word, you know, F... I distinctly heard the word F.
All right, General, why don't you calm down?
I don't need to calm down.
All right, I think we've gotten your... But I want to ask a question before you leave. What do you think should be the response?
The response is very, very clear. It's been given. They shot the jets out of the sky. If the Russians want to make a big deal out of that, NATO has forces that they'll bring to bear, and they'll put a whole lot of hurt on the Russians before their workday ends. By golly, by Jim, you better believe that booby.
Well,
I think that's probably... what do you think, Jay?
Well, I mean, General Shaw wants us to go to war? Wow. You know...
Yes, that's... if the Russians want it.
All we... You know, in shooting down those Russian planes, the Turks have essentially said, yeah, we're Turkey, you know, come visit. And I think that's biting off with more you chew. I think they should apologize. And I think that to the extent that they can recompense the Russians for the jets, obviously you cannot for the wives of the pilots, but you can recompense them for the jets and say, we're sorry. We didn't know it was you. If it had just been Syria or somewhere, you know, if you guys want to use the phrase, some chump change country. But what, this is Russia, not chump change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so in other words, because it's Russia, kiss their ass and build them two new jets?
Well, you have to build them. You know, they may have a couple, you know.
Yeah, a couple laying around, huh?
They might have some on the back lot or something. I don't know.
Look, it's not a car dealership, Santos.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, with the Russians, You want to start to play cutesy poo and footsie? No, thank you. No, thank you. Not me. I'm not going to play it cute and tight. I'm going to keep it loose and free-flowing. When you talk about the Russians, you got to keep it loose and get a lot of air on it. You know? You know, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah, I know. All right, that's Jay Sanos and General Galen Shaw, and we have been listening to them talking to us here about the very unfortunate incident there in over Turkey, I guess, as the Russian planes had been shot down by the Turkish forces as a result of them, according to Turkey, straying into their airspace. General, any...
I would like to say that the... what is this?
Get the music in a show.
Well, is a show ending?
Yeah, but go ahead.
I'd like to say that I think Santos would look good as a hood ornament. Oh, man.
Okay. You know what? You do need to lie down.
Maybe I do.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved here on Podcast One. I'm Margaret Gray, and we do wish you all a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow, and we will see you on Thanksgiving morning following our broadcast. Will be the Milwaukee Lions at the Houston Sweat at the Sweat Pit in Houston Thanksgiving Day.
And, am I still on the air?
No.
Well, I'm talking. I can hear myself on the radio. Hey, hey, hey.
Shut up.
Hey, hey.